So we'll say a prayer. Om Sahana Bhavatu, Om Sahana, Sahana Ubhunaktu,
Sahana Ubhunaktu,
Saha Viryankarava Vahai,
Saha
Viryankarava
Vahai,
Tejasvinavadhi Dhamastu,
Tejasvinavadhi
Dhamastu, Mavidvishavahai,
Mavidvishavahai,
Om Shanti Shanti Shanti, 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 Shanti. Just to listen. Om Brahmanandam Paramasukhadam Kevalam Jnanamurtim Dvandvatitam Gaganasadrisham Tattvamasyadilaksham Ekam Nityam Vimalamachalam Sarvadhi Sakshibhutam Bhavatitam Trigunarahitam Sadgurum Tam Namami Sadashiva Samarambham Shankaracharya Madhyamam Asmadacharya Paryantam Vande Guru Paramparam Om Om Namo Brahmadibhyo Brahma-vidya-sampradaya-kartribhyo, vamsharshibhyo, mahatbhyo, namo guru-vyaha. Sarvopaplavarahitav, prajnanaghanav, pratyakartho, brahmai-vahamasmi, brahmai-vahamasmi, adhihibho, bhagavaha. Om. You can all open your eyes. Oh, we can see each other. Our Akashaji Sky has asked me to talk very slowly. There are two types of nyayas, or examples of how the teacher teaches us. And they can be used. These are methods, or some manifestation of how the teaching comes at different times. Sometimes when the teacher is unfolding or teaching, we feel like a baby monkey on the back of the mother monkey. Have you ever seen that? It's like, because the mother just goes and the baby has to hang on. And the mother doesn't think about the baby at all. And the baby may even fall off. but she just goes. And so sometimes you may feel like that. But there's another. So Akashaji was telling me, okay, you can be that other one. So the other one is, that's called that monkey, baby monkeys on the back of the mother, is called Markata Nyayam. Markata is the monkey. The other is the Marjala Nyayam. Marjalam is the mother cat. The mother cat. How does a mother cat take the baby, the kittens?
In her mouth.
Yeah. In her mouth, very gently she grabs that place on the back of the neck. There's one nadi there. There's one point that once she pushes that point, there is a complete, the baby is stunned. You know, it's okay, but it's just, it can't wiggle anymore. And so it can't wiggle anymore, so it takes it very gently and puts it down in another nest. Yeah. So that's the other way that Guru teaches sometimes. I'll try not to let you feel like the monkey on the back. Okay? So, I will introduce the topic of the human fundamental cause of all suffering. What is the fundamental cause of all human suffering? And what would be its absolute solution? The destruction of that cause and the freedom from all suffering. So that's the topic. What is the cause of human suffering? And what is its solution? Would you like to know? Because that's the number one thing. For a speaker to speak, there has to be some interest on the listener's part, right? Because it's a mutual honoring. Lots of people speak without somebody listening on the other side. That's just to try to escape themselves. But here, we want to know, actually, it's the only thing that we have a human birth for. There's no other purpose. But we don't get connected to be able to understand this very, very often. And even sometimes you hear it, but you may not understand it. And then you, again, off on something else. So that's the need to pay attention. And so the human problem, some people think the problem is inside, and they go about changing and rearranging their room inside. That means psychologically, physically, and they keep looking at themselves, changing and rearranging the inside room. And some people think the problem's outside. That means outside the body, mind, and so they're changing and rearranging the world and the sense objects and keep looking at themselves. It's adding things, subtracting things. But the problem, the human problem, is not inside. It's not outside. Then where else is there? So the problem is not inside. Because some people say it's inside and you have to dive deep, and the deep, and then the submarine will come up and show itself. Atma is the submarine, and then you get, that's some idea they have. Now, what if it's not, if the problem is not inside, and the problem it's not outside. Where is it, Swamiji? Where's the problem? Where could it be? Because there seems to be a problem here.
Connection.
Huh?
Connection.
No, even in between, it's not there. So, because that outside and inside is covered, even the in-between. So the problem is not inside. The problem is not outside. The problem is you. The problem is you means what? Problem is first person singular, I. When you say I, that's where the problem lies. And so if you are the problem, where's the solution? You alone are the immediate solution. You are the problem. I, when I say you, means I, first person singular, I. In grammar we say that, first person singular, I, is the problem. And I is the immediate solution. That's where the solution is. It's like one of those Rubik cubes. Have you ever seen the Rubik cube? Right. So wherever the problem is, that solution is there, but you have to find that. And so it's all there. Some people really get like these puzzles. Challenge. So what is it? Generally men, not women, because men like to put themselves in traps and get out. Put themselves in traps and get out. In general. But the problem and the solution are there in the same place. So I is the problem. I is the solution. But then it's not a matter of changing or rearranging your rooms. It's a matter of understanding what is the nature. So we'll understand this. In the Veda, this tradition, Veda, the word Veda, you've probably heard the word Veda, have you not? You've heard the word Veda. Veda means Vedanti Anena Iti Veda. If you just hear Sanskrit, that's for Swamiji, okay? I am using it. I'll tell you the meaning. Don't worry. So if you, okay, there's some ignorance of that word. All right. Just offer it non-resistance. I'm going to tell you the meaning in English, okay? So not to worry. I also in the beginning had to hear. And you get used to just, okay, Swamiji will tell me the meaning. Relax. So the Veda means Vedanti Anena Iti Veda. A means of knowledge, a source of knowledge. It's a means of knowledge or a source of knowledge. So, and there are four Vedas, Rik, Yajus, Sama, Atharva. I'm not going to go into all the academic aspects, but these are four Vedas. These are the canons. These are the basic scriptures. And these four Vedas are means of knowledge or source of knowledge. What kind of knowledge do they give? They give knowledge for the person, for the human being, to fulfill their desires. So everybody has desires. We're born with desire. And we are brought out desiring, 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 desiring. We're a package of desires, likes and dislikes, different types of likes and dislikes. Everybody is a big package of likes and dislikes, creating a personality. So our whole personality is what? Is likes and dislikes, is desires. That we desire keeps going on. Our desires keep changing. That we desire remains the same. But our desires, what we want, keeps changing. Veda is going to talk about the fourfold human desires and help the person fulfill those desires. Help the person fulfill these desires. There's two portions of the Veda. There's Veda Purva, which is huge, and there's Vedanta, the end portion, the Anta portion, physical end portion. It's called Vedanta. It's very small. In the previous portion of the Veda, they talk about fourfold human goals. And how to fulfill those goals? Chaturvida purushartan vidanti anena iti Veda. So the Veda tells about fourfold human goals. Those goals are dharma. I would like everyone to keep your eyes open. Sometimes in yoga classes and other classes, we close the eyes. But in this class, we need complete open eyes, open heart, complete attention. If you need to also bow, it's okay. If you need to bow out, that's another thing. But it's not a time to sleep, and it's alertness. And it's also very important because we see each other's eyes. Then you can see the heart. You can see that there's not going to be any judgmentalness. I'm not going to advise you anything. I'm not going to give you shoulds or musts or just help you understand. So that helps also. Helps to relax. So these fourfold human desires are what? The dharma, artha, kama, and moksha. So artha and kama. Artha means any type of relative security. Any type of relative security. Food, clothing, shelter, house, family is artha. That can be gained within time and space. So relative securities. Everybody wants kama. Kama means pleasures. Everybody's interested in pleasure. Everybody's interested in pleasure. Is there anyone not interested in pleasure? Everyone wants to be happy. Everyone's interested in pleasure. So the five sense organs are healthy. We want to have the five sense objects and to enjoy. And so Veda will talk about fulfilling those pleasures. It's not going to tell you don't. It's going to tell you what do you want. It has a board. What would you like? I'm here to help you fulfill all the human desires. And so artha and kamas, that means relative securities, relative pleasures, can help us. And to get those relative securities, relative pleasures, relative happiness, is going to also tell us about how to get those without conflict. Because I'm aware, I exist, I'm a awareful being, and I'm aware enough to make a judgment on myself. And that is not different from an animal. An animal is just programmed. It cannot go to the psychologist, cannot go to the plastic surgeon and say, I think my ear needs to be fixed. It has a cut in its ear because it got in a fight with another dog. And so the dog goes to the plastic surgeon, I think I need a new plastic ear. It cannot do that. But, of course, the owner can do that. My dog has a problem with his ear because it's the owner's problem, not the dog's problem. Or my dog has some psychological problem, so they have psychologists for dogs now. And so in New York, you can go to the dog psychologist, sit down, and get therapy through your dog. Dog is... It doesn't have any problem, but the other person is the person's in such denial that they cannot admit that they need psychology, so they get it through the dog. They're listening to the psychologist through the dog. Such identification. So, but the dog cannot. Dog is programmed, it's just an enjoyer, it's not a doer. It doesn't have any sense of doership. It only has sense of enjoyership. It has enough awareness to say, this is another dog. Whether it's a Chihuahua, or a Great Dane, the Chihuahua can know this is another dog and it can bark at that dog. But it doesn't have enough self-awareness to make a judgment on itself and then say, I don't like myself and I think my spots. Dalmatian cannot say, I don't like these spots. I got to get rid of these spots. So it goes and gets it gets one of those permanent coloration, that blonde. I want to be a blonde. I want to be a blonde Dalmatian. I cannot ask for that. But especially in Sweden, you like to change your hair, right? So tremendous. There are probably more hairdressers in Sweden per capita than anywhere in the world, right? So that's one thing you can change, your hair. Why? You show your individuality, you see. There's a lot of ego in the hair. And that's why also in tradition you cut your hair off, you show your seriousness to the teacher by cutting that off, and you're not concerned about the hair. But so we can decide, oh, I've got these wrinkles and I want to get rid of the wrinkles. Somehow wrinkles have not been popular. I don't know why, but you have to earn your wrinkles after all. Wrinkles are wonderful. You earn them. They're like special laurels you wear. Why not? You love them as they are? No. There's a conditioning. No, I can't have wrinkles. No. Even wrinkles in clothes also. No, I cannot. I have to iron them out. The Swamiji will have a problem. And then some people want to iron Swamiji's dhotis. What is it? It's immediate. Next moment, all wrinkles will be there. I say, why iron that? I wear it with, it's already wrinkled. I love the wrinkles. Nothing to iron that. But so, we have awareness enough to make a judgment on ourselves. And that judgment, of course, I don't accept myself as I am. I want to be different. So animal doesn't have that. Human beings have that. And they also have choice. And that choice means what? I have a choice. I can do, I need not do, I can do differently. And if I do something that's against universal values, I don't want to be hurt. Nobody wants to be hurt. If I hurt someone by word or action, I'll have immediate conflict. I hurt myself. I'll have later result also. That's told by Veda. There's immediate result that I have conflict because I don't want to be hurt. And then later there can be a result that comes to me that's a painful result. That's told by Veda. But this is universal values. Everybody knows them. But how much value you have for those values, that's another question. Because you tend to compromise. We tend to compromise those values. Then we suffer. You can't even have relative happiness, relative contentment, unless you follow universal values. So Veda also talks about dharma. So dharma there, the word means universal values. There's place, time, situation. That's always, there's different contexts to choose what's appropriate in any place, any time, situation, persons involved. And what you want others to say and do to you, you can try to say and do to others. First and last, 100%. That's a basic spiritual practice. alertness to the value of a value. I want to be respected. Everyone wants to be respected. First and last, first 100%, I respect people. I respect. Every person can understand. If I can understand, any person can understand. And if I've got some grace in my life, everyone can get that grace. And I respect. I want to be respected. But I cannot force or control or change any other person. So it's not an agenda for somebody else to be or do something. But I follow that value because it's very valuable to me. I don't compromise that. I don't want to be hurt by words or actions. So I follow that value very, very carefully. And what is the value of that value is that it keeps me from conflict. If I follow the value, I'm not in a conflict. And if I'm not in a conflict, I'm relatively peaceful, happy, content. And if I'm relatively content, then my senses are bright, and the sense objects, you can enjoy things. If you're in a conflict, you can't even enjoy it. You can't enjoy anything. You can have billions of dollars and have a big swimming pool and a stereo system and a TV and this and that, but you got it by wrong means, by lying or cheating. You cannot even enjoy those things because you're not present as a person. You won't be present. You'll be conflict. Your mind, your heart will be in a conflict. How can you enjoy? You cannot. So, dharma and adharma is also a topic of the Veda. What is dharma? What is universal value and the value for that value? And what you gain from following that value will be very clearly given. You understand, because we're utilitarian. We want to know, what am I going to get out of this? I'm going to get relative peace. And my relative peace I can enjoy. I can have a healthy body. I can have healthy senses and healthy sense objects. I can enjoy things. And so Veda is telling, I will help you do that. So that's in the previous portion, not in the last portion. So the previous portion. So the previous portion has many different types of action, talks about many different types of action. Now this applies to all of us in this day and age, okay, so it's not disassociated from this. But you'll see as we go. So all types of actions that will help me accomplish these three, and there's one more, the three purusharthas, these three things that are desired by human beings, dharma, artha, and kama. So artha and kama means relative securities, relative happiness gained through proper means. Means you cannot compromise the means. If you do, you can't even have relative pleasure, relative happiness, you won't even get. So if somebody is not following dharma, they can't even have relative happiness. Then the last portion, the last purushartha we'll talk about later, that's called moksha. It's absolute freedom from suffering. All of these are going to help me towards that end. Okay? But, because if I cannot follow these first, I'll never have that ultimate end. So for gaining these ends, dharma, artha, kama, Veda talks about lots of different actions. A Vedic action is called akarma. That's where the word came from. A Vedic action is always a prayerful action. So every action, every word is preceded by a prayer. It's a prayerful action. That means it's alert and prayerful. That means it's ritualized. We're, every day is one prayerful day. Every day we're doing so many things. And a lot of mechanicalness is there. So in Vedic life, it's not mechanical life. It's a very, very alert life. And so every word, every action is preceded by a prayer. It's a deliberation. And it's a ritual. We're doing rituals every day, from brushing our teeth onwards. But we're not aware that it's a ritual. Whether it be sitting down with the family and eating, or going for a walk, or going to the grocery store and buying groceries, all of these are rituals. But we're not aware of them as rituals. They're myths. And so, and they're metaphors. But if you're consciously creating sacred space with prayers in through those actions, then you're ritualizing. And you can choose certain ways of enhancing your spiritual growth, and just by that alert, prayerful way of acting during the day, it will bless you profoundly. You ritualize. We'll talk about more of that later. So Vedic life then is a life of prayerful discipline. And Veda talks about different types of karmas. And these karmas are called, these karmas are Vedic actions. And those actions are means. So they're called sadhanas. Sadhanani. They're sadhanas. But sadhana is sadhyate anena iti sadhanam. A means through which you gain an end, a given end. So you have a sadhana, means a means through which you're going to gain a sadhyam, an end, an accomplishment. You're going to accomplish something. What do you want? What are the three types of desires? I was saying that we're all packages of desires. I want, I want, I want, I want, I want. What do you want? Because it's something like that, you know, the tanpura in Indian music, that four strings, ding, 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 ding. I want, I want, I want. Then the singer sings out, all the ups and downs and in between are all the different types of desires. All of, what do you want? I want a Mercedes Benz. Oh Lord, won't you buy me a Mercedes Benz? My friends all have Porsches. I must make amends. There's a song like that. So you get a Mercedes Benz, and then, oh, I want, I want. Then you get the bill for the, oh, see, every gain is a loss. So then, I want. No, I don't want the Mercedes Benz. I want to sacrifice that for a Hummer. I want to get some Hummer, a big car that looks, that pushes all the other cars off the road and eats gas. Tons of petrol. And then you have to go, you know, pay for that. So I want, I want, I want, I want, I want. These wants go on and on. So the wanting remains. The wanting person remains. But that I want doesn't stop. It doesn't stop. So Veda says, okay, is a sign. What do you want? So the three things we want as human beings are to improve the body. And the body, the mind, the intellect included. Okay? That means the subtle aspect and the gross aspect. You want to improve your body cosmetically, physically, emotionally, psychologically. We want to improve. knowledge-wise, PhD, want to improve. So everybody's wanting to improve their body. So we all want that. So, and then we want to improve the sense objects. Once you have a healthy body, you see, then I want to experience the sense objects. So then you want healthy sense objects to enjoy. I want to enjoy those sense objects. So now Veda will prescribe actions that will improve the body-mind to the maximum. What do you want? So it will give karmas. So this, the things I want to improve the body, okay, then I want to improve this sense objects, and then I want to improve the environment also, the surroundings, where you live, and the community. You want to improve that. And some, the body, if the body is unhealthy, you want to get rid of certain things. That may be some a desire. Once you're sick, you want to get rid of the sickness. So you want to, that's a desire to get rid of the sickness. Once the sickness you got rid of and you're healthy, body is healthy, then you want to enjoy through the sense objects. So then you need lots of healthy sense objects. And, okay, you have a healthy body and you have healthy sense objects, and then, but what if right next to you, you have a pig farm? Then that pig farm is stinking. You have community. You have to have good relation with your neighbors. So your neighbors are not neighborly. Or you don't have a good rapport with them, so you cannot go to the... They play loud music 24 hours a day. They're playing rock and roll. You may not like rock and roll. If you liked rock and roll, you're fine. And then you go over to the neighbor and say, why are you playing rock and roll? Well, there's a raccoon underneath our... You know a raccoon? A raccoon is that animal that has a stripe on its tail, and it probably lives here in the woods. And somebody told the neighbors that if you play rock and roll music, they'll scare the raccoon away. They'll scare the raccoon away, so we're playing rock and roll music. And he still hasn't gone away, the raccoon. But you have to, this is the neighbor, so then you have to, the community, you have to improve the community. Then when the community is all good, and this is good. So, This body, improving the body is called, the body, mind is called upadhi, your instrument. Improve this. The objects of the sense organs are called vishaya, vishayaha, objects of the senses. And then loka. So upadhi palam, vishaya palam, loka palam. That means the instrument you're given, the body, mind, you improve that. You improve the sense objects, you improve the environment, the people, the community. Okay? And so to improve these three, Veda will prescribe many different actions. And those actions are three types of actions. One is kaya, kayena means with the body, body predominant actions. One is by words, verbal actions. And one is purely mental actions. Kayena, vacha, and manasa. So kayena through the body, backed by the mind, of course. Vacha, verbal, and purely mental. So the Veda will, talk about these three types of actions, their prayerful karmas, to get any result that you want. So you want to improve the body and be Mr. Universe or Miss Universe. Okay. You chant Tripura Sundari Stotram 10,000 times. Verbal. So this, and you will get, says, yatha yatha upaste tadeva bhavati. As you worship, so you become. Wherever you place your reverence, then you transform yourself. So Tripura Sundari. Sundari means beauty. So you'll gain a beautiful body. You'll be Miss Universe. Everyone will recognize you. And you'll be recognized all over the world as Miss Universe. Who decides that? I do. Somebody in Hollywood decides. What is it? And it's all magazine. It has nothing to do with beauty, but... So you can be, you can improve. So it'll give these different types of karmas. Okay, you want to improve your physique. Okay, we'll give karmas for that. Puja, you can do a special puja. You can do a special ritual. That if you do this ritual, then you're going to get the result of healthy body. Or healthy, or a particular accomplishment. You can get the ability to remember all details of a text just by reading it once. Okay. But you do these actions. So the Veda will give those actions. And, or you can do something just by mind, just by the mind. So anything that can be done by the body, like a puja, like a worshipping a ritual, can be done purely mentally. Anything that can be done verbally can be done purely mentally. And what will be the result? Vedra will say it's even more powerful if you do mentally. You have to be totally present and know how to stay present mentally and do that same prayer that was done verbal or the same prayer that is done by the body. And so you have these three different means, and so there are many, many, many types of karmas because there's so many types of results that human beings want. So they want to have sons and daughters. They want to have cattle. They want to have cars. They want to have houses. They want to have... These are all artha and kama. They want to have many types of pleasures. And also, there are so many types of pleasures and there are very few things, maybe some very few things, and many people want those things also. So you have to have very special rituals and special means to get those. And so if the Veda says, well, if you want to have a son or a daughter, then you can do putra kameshti. You can do a special ritual to gain a daughter or a son. What type of daughter? Means will she be very well educated? Will she get straight A's in school? Yes, that's the type of daughter I want. Okay, then you do a special ritual for that. So details, details, details. And you follow this, and you will get that result. Now, Veda is not a means of knowledge that you can figure out by yourself, by your own intellect, by your perception and logic. Veda is not a means of knowledge for things that you can figure out by your perception and logic. It's not for those things. It's only a means of knowledge in things that you cannot figure out by perception and inference. That's where it has its scope. It's coming into the creation through what we call Rishi. And Rishi is a manifestation in the beginning of the creation, the cycle of creation, who gave out these Vedas. But it's not a person that was born with self-ignorance. So it's a medium, not a medium like a spiritual medium, okay? But like a flower is born, like your intellect is born, like DNA is born. You didn't create it. It was given. But Vedas were specially given for human beings to help them gain ultimate freedom from suffering. And also, all the relative things you can get, but staying with dharma, staying with universal values, so you don't get into any conflict. Because you can't even have relative happiness if you're in conflict. So Veda is a means for that which is not available for you to figure out by your perception and inference. In those things, it has scope. And you find that it's very consistent and very... It's not going to say something that's not psychologically healthy. It's not going to have you believe in something that's unbelievable, that's absurd, that's illogical. It will never have you believe in those things. But it will talk about things that will they reveal certain realities that you cannot know by yourself, by a human being. That's why it's called apaurusheya vishaya. So a topic, a subject matter that's not available for the human being to know by yourself, by your perception and inference. Because that's all we have as human beings, is perception and inference. That's all we have. We don't have anything else. But Veda has its scope in the things that are not available for perception and inference. So Veda will also talk about even heavens. The first one to talk about heavens is Veda. But Veda always said the heavens are limited, not eternal. You go there and you have to come back. So you go there, you're a 19-year-old, fresh, without any core issues. You don't have to be born as a baby and then go through all the core issues and all the problems. No, you're born fresh there, with a bright sense organs, sense objects, and a great mind behind, and you can go ahead and enjoy for some time, 1,000 times more sensitive eyes and ears, and all, and objects are very subtle, and then you can enjoy there for 1,000 years and then come back. See, it's a heaven, right? So it's like a tourist promotion. 99.9% of all the people are interested in tourist promotion. Scriptures, a lot of the scriptures are just tourist promotion idea. They have some relationship after death. But Veda was the first one to say that the availability of heaven is possible. It's not illogical, but it's not logical either. And it's an unverifiable belief. And it tells that also. You're not going to verify it. You'd have to go to heaven and come back. Well, if you come back, means you haven't gone. So, nobody can ever tell. It's unverifiable belief. But it's not absurd. It's based on some logic. And, okay, even if it's possible, Veda will say, okay, you have a beautiful time, but time flies when you're having fun. So, like when you fall in love, 5 hours have gone, 10 hours have gone. Now, what? The time? Because you regress into your 2-year-old and 3-year-old. You regress And then until the flip side of the ego comes, then you find all the difficulties of that man. Ah, he just puts his finger like this. Ah, hate what he puts his finger. All the defects of your father you'll find. So time flies when you're having fun and you come back. So then again you come back, because like going to Hawaii, you know, you go and spend your money in Hawaii, and then they go to the ATM and then put your card and nothing comes out. Uh-oh. Now I have to go back and work. I have to work some more. Go back to the working place. You enjoy it. You see, action, doership, enjoy. Do, enjoy. Do, enjoy. This is what we're doing. And the more you, the more you do, the more you can get. The more you do, the more you can get. We're all oriented to that. So Veda says the highest possible result would be a heaven, and even a heaven where you can go to Brahmaloka. So some field of experience where there's somebody that's teaching. They may teach you, they may not teach you. You'd have to ask. And what would they teach you? They will teach you, if they teach you, that Brahmaji will teach you Tattvamasi, that you are the cause of the universe, that you are me. That you are, because Brahmaji is the cause, the creator of the whole universe. But even that is limited. It's a limited field of experience. And to get there, you do 100 years of special rituals. So, are you interested in that? So, Veda talks about these. So, what do we have? We have three types of instruments. We have three types of instruments. What is that? We have our kaya, means the body. Through the body, we can do actions. Through words, we can do actions. Through our mind, we can do actions. To get what? To improve our body-mind complex. To improve the sense organs. Sense objects. To improve the sense objects. And to improve the environment. To get what? Dharma, artha, kama. So, relative securities, relative pleasures. And you keep improving those things. And Veda says a person who lives a very alert life, who's a very cultured person, and who lives a very alert life following universal values, basic common sense ethics. You follow those 100%, very carefully. And you see the experiences that you get through these relative means, through the improving of the body-mind, improving the sense objects, improving the environment. You just very carefully look into those things. They'll say that there'll be some person, one among thousands, if not millions, one among thousands will say, hey, there's something more to this. There's something. I'm not completely satisfied. There's some defects in these gains. These are the possible accomplishments that you can gain within time and space through action and result. Every action will have its appropriate result. So every result that's coming to you within time and space is a result because of some action you did in the past. It's just cause and effect. Cause and effect. It has nothing to do with somebody else deciding. It's in perfect order. Disorder is also in order. You don't remember what you ordered in this restaurant, that's all. Because you never would have ordered something consciously. You know, consciously you would not order something painful for yourself, would you? Consciously you would never have ordered something painful for yourself. Not even a pinprick. So obviously you unconsciously made some orders. Wake up. You have to be conscious. And carefully receive the results and not send them out again. Because we'll tend to get the result and then send it out again. You see, perpetrator-victim syndrome. Perpetrator is the victim. Victim is the perpetrator. But you have to break the chain. The only way you're going to break the chain is to see your helplessness and seek help from higher power. That's where we have puja, etc. So we'll be introducing that. So now, then Veda says, then this person says, okay, I've been gathering, I've been improving, I've already finished this help library. I've finished the self-help library in the Library of Congress. I've assimilated it. I've chewed it. I've digested it. I've got 10 PhDs. I've got all the psychology in every paradigm of psychology. I'm a master of that too. Sick and getting better. Sick and getting better. And I'm always sick. I'm never better. So I've got all that. And I've improved the body. I've had yoga. I can do every asana that from the primordial ocean onwards to the blue whales, I can do those asanas. There's nothing for me. Okay, fine. And got such a healthy sense organs, then I can enjoy things. I've been enjoying all these things for some time. And I've been following dharma also, very consciously. Not stepping on people's feet, not doing things that I wouldn't want others to do to me or say to me. Very carefully following dharma. And I improved the environment. See, I made a beautiful community also. And I've improved the community and the infrastructure and the sewage system. And there's a soup kitchen and a temple and a new hospital, and I improved it, and improved it, and improved it. But I want, then what? And this person's so bright, they're not going to remain dull and then get into this idea that you have to have your lows to have your highs, dear. And people believe that. And how are you today? I'm getting on. He's already got his motorbike in his house, and he's been married 3 times. He has 10 children, and he's been a CEO from a big company, and he's this, he's that. And then, how are you today? How are you? Pulling on, getting on. We all have this. How are you, Mr. Trump? He's a mess. Howard Hughes, billions of dollars. Mr. Gates, you ask him, how are you, Bill? I don't have the complete market of the PC. That fellow Steve, he's putting things in my spokes. Steve Jobs, the Mac. But then they get together and then they... But they'll always say, no, there's something, there's some problem, something. So then Veda has another sign. He does not have an agenda for anyone, okay? It's not some conversion system that he goes and knocks on people's doors and says, I'd like to talk to you about particles. You know, E equals MC squared. I'd like to talk to you. Good news. I have good news. They say that the world's going to come to an end. Holocaust. That's why I told you, contemplate the Holocaust immediately. Right now, it's already big banging happening right now. And nothing's happening. So it doesn't go. Veda doesn't go out and say, oh, you should believe this, that. No, no. If you want to understand E equals MC squared, you have to go to Einstein or somebody equivalent, and you have to have all your prior mathematics, you see. That means you've lived a very clean life and you've lived a prayerful life. You've followed dharma. And you're a very alert, prayerful person, which you all are. Okay. We all have to come to this teaching. We all have to. We're all okay. But, so, and you say, hey, there's something more. There's something wrong with this myth going on. 99.999% of these people, they're following something. I'm not interested in that. There's something more. What's popular is wrong thinking. You know that? So Vedanta will never be popular. This teaching will never be popular. Anyway, Veda says, okay, I have an N portion. So this portion is one, and there's an N portion. And there's something about these three results that I have to tell you. That also, you've already figured out pretty much if you're an alert, prayerful person. That these three possible results, these three possible improvements, improving the body mind, improving the sense objects, and improving the environment, and that means any amount of improvement, okay? Within time and space, okay? Any amount of improvement you want to imagine. These three have three blatant defects. They have three blatant defects. What are those defects, Swamiji? You want to know?
Yeah.
You want to know the defects? The defects of these three accomplishments, human accomplishments. The Veda tells that every one of these results have a defect called dukkha misritattvam. That's number one. That means every pleasure is mixed with pain. It's not saying that this is not pleasurable at all. It's pleasurable, fine. But you have to pay the price. You see? You have to pay the price. It's not unalloyed pleasure. It's not complete happiness. It's mixed with pain. It's mixed with suffering. It's mixed with struggling. Okay, I want to have a family. And I'm going to have children. So that means you have to prepare for that. So you can see that if you've had children, you'll know this. If you haven't, you know others who've had. Okay, you have to prepare the nest. Okay, you have to have money. You have to have infrastructure. You might have a kindergarten. You're going to have to this, that, and everything you have to prepare. Before even, they even get the kindergarten now before the baby's born. They book the kindergarten ready. And you have to have all these things and prepare the nest. And then, of course, 9 months and 900 billion cells later, wah, is born. There can be so many complications in those, we don't know. And you can do the birthing in so many methods, whether it be in a cold hospital or your own house in a tub. There's a billion different things on the Google. You just Google birthing. 1 billion pages will come, and you have that many choices to birth your baby. Which way? You want to do it with the yoga? Okay, there's a yoga system. And there'll be a birthing yoga person, and they'll take you through, 200 classes, and then you'll be ready by the time. and you can give birth without any drugs, of course, without any drugs in the tub, and then you're going to be in extreme pain and this and that, but you'll be able to breathe through it. Okay. But, so you can have that. So a lot of struggle to get the children. You're going to have children. A lot of struggle to get the children. That's dukkha. Pain, suffering. And then you finally get them. Baby has come. Okay. Now, how to sustain that baby?
More dukkha.
More dukkha. More struggle. Sustaining is another thing. So sustaining what you have. Is in Sanskrit, yoga is apraptasya praptihi, is yogaha, one meaning of the word yogaha, getting what you don't have, there's a lot of struggle. Then praptasya rakshanam, sustaining what you have. Okay? Now you have a house, now you have a child. So now you have to sustain that child. Okay, he's got to have shoes, and he has to have clothes, and he has to have a buggy, and he has to have, and also if you're in a society that, you know, he has to have this type, he has to have designer clothes. Oshkosh bagosh. He has to wear those Oshkosh bagosh, otherwise I cannot take him down to the mall and be with my friends because I just don't feel right. He's got to be wearing the designer jumper. And he grows so fast that you've got to keep changing that every year and pay $150 for just one sock that's this big. Why? Because you have to look right. My child has to look right. So you have to sustain the child. You have to keep putting... So sustaining also is dukkha, taram. It's more dukkha. That means all of these, you know, whether it be improving the body, you know, once you get a good body in yoga, then how... Then you have to retain that. How do you have to retain it? Every day you have to practice. Otherwise you lose a fruit practice, then Ganapati comes. Stomach. Some tire comes around. Bornberg will tell you. You see, to get to be number one, you had your Bornberg, right, in Sweden. One of the greatest, huh? Yeah, Bornberg. I'm not saying correctly. Excuse me. At least you caught my accent and you could tell what it was. So Bornberg. Say again. Bjornberg. So he's one of the greatest tennis players ever lived. If he wanted to do the other circuit, he would have done, but grass was his thing. And so 6 times he won the Wimbledon. 6 times. So to get to be number one is one thing. Tremendous effort to go into ATP up to the top 10 and then the Association of Tennis Professionals. And they have all marked, you're number 100 or 1,000. You have to go from 10,000 to number one. And for that, you have to, tremendous effort. It's just extraordinary. The game is at a mental level. Besides having a very, very fit body-mind, it's all mental by that time. You have no idea. We have no idea what the level is of tennis. Unless you played and beaten Bornberg, you cannot. But once he's got that, he has to sustain that. To be number one is one. Then sustain number one status. That's another thing. He'll tell you. That's another thing. And then, you have to lose it. At any time. So I have a family, I have this, I have a beautiful child, I have a beautiful house, I've accomplished everything. Anytime, it can go. Anytime, Lord gives and Goddess gives, she takes away. She has the last laugh. Anytime, because you cannot take anything for granted because it's relative, right? You get it, gone. And you have a very brief case. You came alone with a very brief case. without briefs first, and then you have some briefs, maybe. And, or boxers, depends. And then, then when you go, what are you going to take with you? You're going to take anything? Gone. Everything's gone. Everything you've accomplished will be ashes in a second, which is extremely painful. It's already so painful, you see. We just got married, and we were just having a honeymoon, and then, heart attack. She had a heart attack. Wrenching, you see. After I waited till I was 40 years old to get married, finally I got married in the ritual of my mother and father. We did the same, and then, I just had a child, and it was 5 years old, and then it had some heart aneurysm or something, and it's terrible. Terrible pain, terrible suffering. All possibilities. So a struggle to get it, a struggle to sustain it, and struggle and pain and suffering, and then to lose it. Terrible. Terrible pain, suffering. This is with all three of these accomplishments. That's number one defect. Number two defect is that no matter how much you have and all these things you improve, they can never, ever give you absolute satisfaction. I was saying that you ask Bill, you ask anyone that's accomplished many, many things, you ask yourself, after accomplishing so many things, how am I? Am I satisfied in myself, by myself, without any reason? Am I completely satisfied? But this is all fine. My family is grown up. I put them in college. They all have PhDs. And I have a house, and I sold that. And now I have a little cottage up in the mountains in Sweden. And I go skiing every year. And this, everything's fine. But I just got a divorce. But I found another one. But she's not the same. Or I just found another man. But... See, always a butt comes butting in. Butt comes butting in and says, I'm not completely satisfied. So this second defect is also very, an alert person figures out and sees that very, very deeply. He or she sees that. This is called atripti karatvam. That means it never gives. These accomplishments can never give absolute satisfaction. A satisfaction that is absolute and is not going to, you're not going to become dissatisfied. There's not a trace of dissatisfaction. There's no buts. These accomplishments within time and space can never, ever give. That means any accomplishment that involves any process, any karma, any action, will never ever give absolute satisfaction. Then what is the third defect? Dosha. It's called a dosha in Sanskrit. What is the third defect of all these accomplishments? The third defect is that all of these things, all of these accomplishments, instead of causing absolute independence, we seem to be going from dependence to dependence to dependence to more dependence. More crutches. More crutches. More crutches. So if I can pick up a stick and I have healthy legs and I can walk, and I can drop the stick anytime. That's not a crutch. I can keep it, I can drop it, but I don't depend on it. I can drop it anytime. But I have to have my stick. And I have to have my another stick for that stick and another stick for that stick. And they're so sticky. I'm stuck to my stick, my cell phone. Oh. And my cell phone goes out. Oh, my heart. You get disturbed because the cell phone has died. You're dependent on your cell phone. Anything you cannot give out, give up, you cannot drop it without thinking it's any loss. See, you have the cell phone, or does the cell phone have you? That's the question. If you're disturbed, if you lose your cell phone, the cell phone is binding you. You're dependent on that. It's a crutch. And what do you want? You want absolute independence, and then you have these crutches and crutches and crutches and crutches. I have a beautiful big house, but then I'm always thinking about my house. I'm always my house. How's my house? My house. And I can't go out without locking. I have so many keys, and they all weigh me down. And I'm always worried about my house and the dog and this. Do you have the house, or does the house have you? You don't have the house. The house has you. It means you're possessed by your possessions because you have possessiveness. The possessiveness that possesses. So that you cannot give it up. So we go from dependence to more dependence to more dependence. So you have, I take a pill to wake up, and then I take a pill to go to sleep, and then I take a pill to stay to sleep. How does he do that? I have my wife do it. Pop a pill in the middle of the night so I don't wake up. So pill culture, always pill. So dependence, drugs, we get dependent, emotionally dependent. So many. Dependence. So none of these accomplishments will give you absolute independence. What do we want? We want absolute independence. We want to be absolutely independent without any crutches. From time of a baby onwards, when once we start walking, we don't want anyone. Don't touch me. I'm going to walk. You see? We want to be independent. You can do it yourself. Independent. We want that, but we're going from dependence to... We're all dependent on each other. So much dependence is there. But where can I get absolute independence? Absolute independence. Not from time and space. Not from any action. Not from any process. Not from any mental process. So these three defects, these three defects go with these three accomplishments. And these are all the accomplishments that any human being could accomplish within time and space. So they're called the dosha-sahita sadhyams, or defectful results or accomplishments. Okay, Swamiji, that's fine. Is there a defectless goal? An absolutely defectless goal that doesn't have these defects? That defectless goal would have to give absolute happiness that is not subject to sadness, that doesn't come and go. Satisfaction has to be absolute satisfaction that has no reason. And that goal has to give absolute independence, where you're not dependent on anything. Even if the whole creation blows up, you say, ah, ha, ha, very nice. Like a pickle, like a wasabi mustard on your sushi. Ah, beautiful, thank you. I'll have another sushi. That's goal. Means absolute fearlessness without fear of death, absolute independence. That goal. What's that goal? Is there a goal like that? So, for this person who asks that, then Veda has a sign again. It says, okay, you've already made use of the previous portion of the Veda. And you've got everything that you can get with that. Now you're asking for a dosha rahita sadhyam. You're asking for a goal that has no defect, a defectless goal. That defectless goal, what is that? Would you like to know? Well, maybe you wouldn't like to know. Maybe Swamiji should go home now. So, a defectless goal, a dosha rahita sadhyam. Veda says, yes, there is a defectless goal. It doesn't have these defects. And it will give you absolute independence, absolute satisfaction, and it will be happiness that's not subject to sorrow. Because we all want happiness. That's what. But if that happiness is dependent on any object, then that'll be sadness in any second, because the object will change. So every gain is a loss. Every loss is a gain. A limited being, I'm a limited being plus limited things, limited. Limited being minus limited things, limited. I can never get limitless through time and space. So, and I'm not interested in these things anymore, in anything that I can get within time and space. I've had enough of them. I've seen the end of them. I'm just not interested. They're seen and gone. Seen and gone. They're ashes. And by accomplishing any more of them, I know that I'm not going to get a defectless goal. I'm interested in defectless goal. What is that defectless goal? Well, the Veda says, now you're ready for the end portion of the Vedas that doesn't involve any karma at all. It doesn't involve any process. It doesn't involve any form of karma at all. And that's why it's called Vedantaha. So Vedasya Antaha. The Antaha, the physical end portion of the Vedas. Also called Shrutihi, because this words which form this teaching are coming from the rishis who heard in their meditation, they heard this Vedas. It's not born of their intellect, because if it was born of intellect, it would have inherent defects of cause-effect. And there are five defects of logic, and then you'll just go in circles in logic. So this Vedanta is not born of human intellect. And it also is a means of knowledge for that which you cannot know by your perception and inference. But there's no karma involved. So it's purely giving knowledge. It's a means of knowledge. And he says, so the Veda says that defectless goal is Brahman. Then you ask, Swamiji, what is Brahman? What is Brahman? So the Vedas will extol that Brahman, left and right. Brahma vidā apnoti param tadesha bhyukta satyam jnānam anantam brahma yo veda nihitam guhāyam paramevyoman soshnute sarvān kāmān saha brahmanā vibhaschiteti. So it will say, the one who knows that Brahman attains everything immediately. All desires are attained immediately by knowing that Brahman. What is that Brahman? It's not this. Not this, not this, not this, not this, not this, not this. So it talks about that Brahman. And we have to understand how to get that Brahman. What is that Brahman? What is the means of getting that Brahman? Because we're go-getters. I'm going to get that Brahman. So that's a defectless goal. Where is it? I know I can get it. So what is that Brahman? And it's going to tell that that Brahman, it's a big news, that Brahman is you already. The seeker is the sought. And as long as there's the presence of the seeker, you will never you'll never find the sought. Sought means that result or the object. See, because you have an idea that some object of awareness is needed. And this is that Brahman is not an object of awareness. It's not objectifiable. It's not objectifiable within witness, awareness. So anything that you can objectify, any experience, anything known, anything unknown, anything knowable, that's not Brahman. And that Brahman is already you, is the knower. It's ever the knower, it's never the known. And then so you're going to say, Swamiji, I don't get it.
Like the monkey baby.
Yeah, you feel like the monkey baby on the back. Okay. So we also then, the Veda has to talk about what is it that we need as preparation for the student to know that Brahman as it's being unfolded by a live traditional teacher. So we'll talk about that, and we'll talk about that defectless goal called nirdosha sadhyam, or the one goal, sadhyam, and the sadhana for that goal. So the sadhana, the means, and the sadhyam, the goal, which is moksha. Moksha means the paramapurushartha, the ultimate goal, the only real purpose that everybody is struggling. Okay? The only thing that everybody ever wants anyway, really. They don't really want anything else. They only want Brahman. And Brahman is already you. So everything you want to be, you already are. That you have an idea that you're not, that's because of ignorance, not knowing the nature of yourself as full and complete. So we have to see that more thoroughly, and we'll do that in the next class. Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnamevavashishyate Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. Harihi Om Shri Guru Jo Namaha. Harihi Om.